Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Qasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big. Get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim, and our guest today is Erica. So Erica, if you want to go ahead and introduce yourself, tell us where you live, what you do for a living.
Hi, my name is Erica Chambers. I live in North Texas in a small town called Little Elm, and I am the owner of a company called Puzzles of Color, where we create jigsaw puzzles featuring the work of artists of color.
Awesome. So how did you get the idea to start this business?
It's a family business. So my brother and I both grew up doing puzzles. Thanks to my mother. She did it. She kind of, started us with puzzles to kind of keep us entertained during like the winter months, especially around Christmas time when school was closed. And so it's something that we've been doing for years and years, and we, love to frame our puzzles when we completed them. But we had a really hard time just in general when we were shopping for puzzles, finding like puzzles that featured Black people, that had kind of any diversity. And then we also had a hard time finding puzzles that were frameable sizes. So if we like did like a cartoon, we wanted to frame it because we'd spent weeks working on it. but they were like these weird shapes. And my mom was like, that frame would cost way more than I spent on the puzzle. We are not framing this. A few years later, as I was an adult, I wanted to start doing puzzles again, especially as I was, you know, having kids. And I realized it was still a little bit hard. You know, diversity has helped started a little bit, but not as much as I would like. So we decided to start the business so that we could really help highlight a lot of the different artists that we enjoy and bring more diversity to the business, to the puzzle world.
Awesome. So obviously you mentioned that you enjoyed puzzles for a long time. We saw this pain point for some years now, but like, what made you decide that it was like that was the right time to actually go ahead and start this business?
We started during COVID. So we actually had the idea in 2019, ironically, which was just because I was pregnant and I really wanted to do a puzzle that I could put into my nursery. And then wasn't finding anything that like really spoke to me. So just kind of mentioned the idea to my brother, and he was like, that'd be a great business idea. And we brainstormed, but we just couldn't get it together at the time. And then during 2020, we were all at home and everybody was doing puzzles. Like puzzles like had blew up, and I was like, oh dang, like we should have done this a year ago, like we said. But we, you know, still were like, okay, there's still some space in the industry. Like we still have a unique story that we want to tell. So we went ahead and started, we looked up how to make a puzzle and bought the puzzle machine, licensed the work from our different artists that we knew and didn't know that we reached out to on social media, and started like cutting our own puzzles in house and did it that way. So, ironically, we started cutting our own puzzles because we couldn't find like a manufacturer with the right pricing, but also because of 2020 and the puzzle boom, a lot of manufacturers were out. They were booked, and they were like, we can't take any more clients. And so it worked out for us that we were planning to cut our own puzzles, and we just went from there.
Awesome. So in terms of getting the word out, like how do people find out that you even exist in the first place?
That goes back to cutting our own puzzles. It was a really, you know, because puzzles were such a hot topic at the time, a lot of like, you know, they were doing different news stories about like, you know, why do you enjoy puzzles and that kind of thing. And so we had the unique story of like, hey, we're doing these puzzles featuring Black art, and we also cut our own puzzles. And so we ended up being covered by a local CBS news station. And then from there, we went into national news and had several different, you know, media outlets reach out to us. And we were able to really, get a lot of contacts that way. Good and bad, because it was actually in the first 2 months of being in business, and so it caused quite a stir. And made it a little bit difficult for us to maintain cutting our own puzzles. We ended up having to outsource our manufacturing at that point, but it was a great way to like really start off solid. And we had a lot of sales like really early on that we were able to kind of, keep those contacts and go from there.
Awesome. So as of now, you mentioned that you've kind of outsourced some of the manufacturing. So how does that look like in terms of scalability? So is the manufacturing, like, are they cutting it, packing it, shipping it for you? Are they doing all of that? Like, are you shipping it from your house sometimes? Like, what does that look like?
Well, we are a lot more scalable now. I will say that. When we first were talking about cutting our own puzzles, I was like, this is a cool idea because look, we had planned to like kind of build slow and like do some, maybe we'll do some local puzzles for like a softball team or, something like that. Like that was our original idea and cut them as the orders came in. But I was like, this won't really work for long term, but like, what that'll be years from now, who cares? And so we really had to pivot really quickly, and we had a manufacturer that was making our boxes, and so we ended up, they were saying like, hey, we can actually make puzzles too, and so they made our boxes already. Then so we were like, okay, cool, we know you guys. They did our puzzles, and then because we already ordered a bunch of boxes and not puzzles, we ended up having to like box the puzzles. Like they sent us ba boxes, they sent us ca cartons of puzzles in bags, and then we had to like manually do that. But now we actually do have it fully manufactured and assembled there, and then we ship them out of our warehouse up in Richardson.
Awesome. So, I'm in Dallas too. So I'm just curious. Like, is everybody that's buying from you, are they buying directly from your website? Or are you in local stores here too? Or what does that look like for you?
Yeah, we are majority online and at events. We do a lot of events. That's something that we kind of decided to start doing this year, especially since, things are opening up post-COVID. But we are also available in some retailers. So we're about like 70% direct to consumer, 30% retail at the moment. We have a lot of like mom and pop shops, especially in the Northeast. We went to a show called New York Now, and that's where we ended up getting a lot of contacts. But we also have, we're available on Nordstrom Online. That's something that just happened recently. And we did a
Congratulations.
short run with Target, for Black History Month. So we've had a couple of retail, opportunities there as well.
Awesome. So, like you mentioned local events, like what do those types of events look like? Is it like certain conferences or conventions? You also mentioned earlier, like you're talking like softball games, things like that. So, do you go to like charity events? Like, what does that look like for you?
Yeah, that's something that is ever evolving. We started off with like really small events of like, oh, hey, we're having a, we're having vendors at like our HOA event or whatever. And we started doing that. And then we realized, okay, this will wear us out pretty quick. I mean, like doing a lot of the smaller events. So we did start to really target the larger events. So now we do like kind of conventions. We do like jazz fest, like things like that, where there's going to be like thousands of people, is what we try to stick with. We do the occasional smaller event, but we are really big. Our biggest event of the year is the Texas State Fair, which is in a couple of weeks, and we are currently doing the Oklahoma State Fair for the first time. So, yeah, we try to do really big events where there's a lot of traffic, just because, of course, more bang for your buck, especially if you're having to travel to get there. And that really just helps to kind of like, groundswell and spread the word for people who may not have seen us on several different media outlets. They can discover us there and meet us in person.
For sure. So how big for you is word of mouth? I feel like if somebody buys from you, they probably tell their family members and, things like that. It's like, what does that look like for you?
Yeah, I don't know, like, of course, quantify. I haven't quantified that. Unfortunately, I don't have the data exactly, but it's really, really cool when we're at events because we're able to hear that kind of feedback of people like coming up and being like, oh, hey, my cousin lives in whatever state and they told me to come to see you guys at the state fair, and then of course, people just seeing us, having seen us on TV, and they're super excited to see us in person. We do have a really active social media, so people, have find us through that, especially when it comes to like TikTok, where you can go viral over something that seemed really small, and suddenly you've got like a bunch of orders. It's like, what happened? Where did that come from? So we have, a lot of different words, because of events, we have word of mouth there, as well as, finding us through various social media outlets and then, actual customers.
Awesome. So, what is the role of technology when it comes to your business?
Our website is through Shopify. That is our main source of income. We are a primarily direct-to-consumer business, so that runs everything. And then also, my brother and I, we have our different backgrounds. I'm a project management background. He is a graphic designer. He does all of our branding and things like that. But we don't necessarily have all the business know-how. I did have a little bit of it, but a lot of things we're learning through, YouTube and Google, and so it's definitely vital to our operation.
For sure. So, I mean, obviously now 2023 is the age of AI. So what is the use of, or use case of AI when it comes to your business? I mean, do you see people potentially using it to create customized puzzles, for example? Like, what does that look like in the future, or even now?
Actually, we have recently started using AI because we have had a few. We were at the beginning. We did a lot of art that was ex already existing that we found on social media, and reached out to the artist and said, like, "Hey, we really love this. Let's co collaborate." But recently, we get requests all the time of people saying, like, "Hey, I really want to see a mother daughter," and then we may not find something that really resonates with us when we're searching online. So we have actually started commissioning art because we have so many different artists that we love, but maybe they just don't have a piece that works for a puzzle. And so what we've done with AI is we have actually been able to say, give a prompt of like, we really would like a piece that has a mother daughter, and it's maybe in this style, and give me some options. And that way we can have a better conversation with the artist as far as when we do a commission. Because there have been times when we did a commission, we just kind of gave them a vague description, and then like what came back was like, oh, that was not what was in my head. Like, that was not this works, but it's not exactly what we were looking for. And so it really helps us to kind of give more directed feedback and get a little bit of a better result.
Is it more so like somebody comes like on your website and they say, "Hey, I want this customized design," and then you'll take their concept, put it into ChatGPT, and then share it with the artist and say, "Hey, this is what they want. Go and create something similar."
Yeah, somewhat. We actually, as far as our commissions that we've done for like corporations, things like that, those we didn't use AI at the time, but really just for our new collection that we came out, we did three commission pieces. And one of them we did actually say, like, okay, let's just do an AI example so that way we can let them know, like, this is generally what we're looking for. Because I found that I may not be the best at describing art as much as I enjoy it. I'm like, how do I say what I'm looking for? And so it was easier for me, instead of describing, like, I would like, listing off all these things, to actually just give them a few examples and let them kind of go from there and create in their own style.
So, do you think there's a possibility in the future of like AI or just in general, like if somebody wanted to customize your own puzzle, like maybe like a family photo or something on a puzzle, do you see something like that as a possibility?
Yes and no. We've talked about it. We have thought about, like, how can we do custom puzzles? We get that request all the time. For us, unfortunately, just like logistics wise, it's been a challenge to figure out how to print one-offs. And even like capacity wise, it's hard to actually get into that world. So it's something that like we would love to do possibly in the future, but it's not looking like it's in the cards anytime soon at the moment. But also, like, another thing we use AI for is like even product descriptions. Like, we have, the description of the art from the artist saying, like, this is the story that I envisioned when I did this art. But then, of course, we do have to put it on a website, and maybe it needs certain keywords, things like that. And so we're able to kind of say, hey, this is the actual product. Write me a product description and go from there.
Awesome. No, I think AI has a lot of use cases. Like for example, like high level chatbots, like as you mentioned, like giving information, even trying to upsell somebody. Oh, you bought this puzzle. What if you bought this one too? What if you bought that? Like, making these recommendations to increase like the average order value, saying, "Hey, like, why don't you buy more products? Or buy something else. Like, you like puzzles, but maybe you like, I don't know, whatever Christmas gift that goes good with the puzzle." So it's kind of like, working and helping improve the customer experience. Awesome. So, in terms of your business right now, what would you say is your biggest challenge?
Time is our, I guess, our biggest constraint. Is right now I actually am the only person that's full time. We have a team of 5 to 6 people, depending on, we have one contractor and 5 actual like staff. But most of us have full time jobs and are doing this on the side. And so really it's just having the time. And I know one thing, I actually do need to use ChatGPT or like, some kind of AI more as far as like the administrative stuff, 'cause I spend a lot of time doing that when I should be, actually doing more strategy and things like that. So really kind of finding that balance of if we're really heavy on doing events, are we neglecting our website? Or if we're really heavy on the website, or we're working on a product coming out, we haven't done enough events, and we need to kind of figure out a way to balance that and have some more consistent income. So
100%. I think the biggest thing for any e-commerce brand, for sure, it's always brand awareness. Like, how do people? Because, like, obviously, like, I love the mission. I love, what you're doing. But it's like more people have to know about it. That's the biggest thing. It's like if more people know about it, more people
yeah.
like will buy it. It's that, it's really like that simple.
Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome. So, what would you say? What's your biggest challenge in general? I guess like starting this business.
Well, because we started during COVID, a big challenge as that everybody was experiencing was just like the slow process of shipping. And so we did like a pre-sale situation, and we were really trying to get those puzzles out in time for Christmas. I think we did end up finally getting them out, but like we had to do a lot of pivoting. We only received so many boxes up front. We sold more than we had, and so we were like, they should be here. They're on their way. They're not going to get here till January. We had to like last minute buy all different boxes and, do stickers, and it was like a whole mess. Quite frustrating. Quite like, well, we were very like every night, what do we do? Why do we do this to ourselves? But it was we were able to come out the other end. I will say I was really, really fortunate because we are a family business that we were able to kind of like talk to each other, give it to you straight, like this is what's happening, have our little panic moment, and then stop and say, okay, we did the complaining. Now what do we do? Like what are the next steps here? And we had each other kind of play off of. I know like that can be a real challenge, especially if you're a solo entrepreneur, you don't necessarily have somebody that's like in it with you. So I was really, really fortunate that we have that available for us.
For sure. I think like working with family, there's positives and negatives. We talk to many people like yourself that, have family businesses and like, in terms of trust, like it can be hard to trust people. And I think like family's always family. So I think that's a very important
Yeah, and I know where they live, so if you want to cross me.
thing. That's true. So what would you
Just kidding.
say? What would you say is your top priority going now into Q4 of 2023?
We really just want to finish strong. This is puzzle season for us. Of course, we're getting into the fall. It's gonna be cold. Honestly, it was so hot this summer that people should have been staying inside doing puzzles all summer because who wants to be out in this heat? But now that it's cooler, especially people are more cozy, they're at home, puzzles are great gifts. So really trying to for us, because we were so event heavy earlier in the year, we really need to focus on our online presence a little bit more. As well as continuing the event in-person events and really just delivering, giving great customer service, so that people can have their puzzles in time for the holidays.
So, what would you say is the one biggest piece of advice that you wish you knew before you started this business?
I mean, there's so many things. I would say that for one, like to trust yourself. I think that there were times when we may have like thought, oh, maybe that's not the best thing, and then we did it anyway, and then it bit us in the butt. Or there were times when we thought like we should have done XYZ, and then for whatever reason it may have fell through, whatever, we didn't, and then it ended up being the better decision. And so I think if you really are in tune with yourself and your company, take those breaks so that you can become in tune with yourself and your customers, so that you can actually make the right decisions and not be like kind of reacting, and actually plan and make the correct decision based on your gut.
For sure. I think it's so hard sometimes because it's like you're faced with like different options, and it's a good and bad thing. It's like you have partners and somebody else might have like a different opinion. So that's always can be challenging. It's like balancing those things.
Yeah, absolutely. I just had a little spat with my brother today where I was like, hey, I need you to do XYZ. And he's like, I don't really think. And I'm like, just give it to me then. I'm gonna do it. Like, I don't have time for the back and forth with you today. And so, sometimes we have those incidents, and usually we're pretty good because we have like we have really established roles, and we kind of set, we try not to really cross over into each other's areas too much where it will cause a spat, but definitely something that comes up in any business.
100%. So, if we're going to have this conversation again in 1 year from now, where do you expect things to go for Puzzles of Color?
Ooh, good question. I really would like to expand our retail, kind of help diversify the business. And the one thing that we are, are trying to do is to just do more, a little bit more like door-to-door sales. We have, or not, person to person, because we have gone to a couple of trade shows, and it's been a little difficult. Like, it's hard because people have got fair and all these different ways that people are finding their products. And so trade shows are not as popular as they used to be. And so really trying to figure out, like, without wasting a lot of, spending all this money to go to this event and it may not be as many people there, like, how can we get in front of the different retailers? So that's something that we're really trying to focus in on, and then hoping to be able to come up with more collections throughout the year. Right now we do like one really big drop a year. And then this year we did play with, like, we had a couple of puzzles in the summer. We had a couple of puzzles a couple of months ago, and like kind of the mid, spring, summer, and then we've got our fall collection. So wanting to do that more so that we can have our customers provide them with all new, products throughout the year.
Awesome. So, in terms of retailers, like what types of retail? I mean, I guess like dream retailers that you really like, just want to be in.
Well, we are on Nordstrom online. I would love to be there in person so that you could walk in the store and see us on the shelf. That is a dream of ours, of course. One of our goals is to just be available in all 50 states. And that can, if it's a big retailer, great. If it's a bunch of little retailers, also great. I mean, of course, a big retailer, a little bit easier to manage because it's one contact instead of 50 plus individuals. Really, that's our goal, is to just be available in store across all 50 states, especially because we have so many people who are, reaching out and saying, like, hey, I need this in, for my party this weekend. Will it be here in time? And that kind of thing. It's like, oh, you can actually go to this store and you'll be able to get something. And then, of course, we really actually would like to expand our online. I mean, I'm sorry, not online, but our international. We have several people who purchase in Canada, and we've got requests from like UK and Australia and all these different countries. So it'd be really great to be able to expand that as well.
I think being in a store, it's funny because like the trend is moving more towards e-commerce. But I always say I'm like e-commerce can be in many different forms. So you can be on DoorDash or Instacart ordering from your home, and somebody goes and picks it up and delivers in 30 minutes. And that's really also e-commerce. So it's an interesting like dynamic. And I think also like retail, just to your point, right? It's great for marketing. People are going to walk and see, oh, I never heard about, okay, like let me buy it or let me just, keep it in my mind to go buy it later online. So that's a really cool thing as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and like I said, I mean, if nothing else, sometimes you can get it quicker. Like, I know, like, I'll go on Amazon specifically if I need something in the next couple of days, and like, I don't know if it's in a store near me. But, being able to actually walk into the store, even better. And there's so many different, I feel like there is a level of legitimacy that comes with being in a store as much as online, exists and is great. It's super, super cool when we were doing the Target Black History Month thing to actually walk in and see it on a shelf amongst so many different companies, and really feel like, we made it. So definitely, I think there's a place and space for both of them, and we hope to be there.
Awesome. So, if somebody watching this wanted to reach out to you, do you mind sharing your website or social media handles, like best ways to get in contact with you?
Yeah, absolutely. Our website's just www.puzzlesofcolor.com. Our social media, we're at Puzzles of Color on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. What's the other ones? TikTok, Threads, new thing. So we're at Puzzles of Color all across the board.
Awesome. Well, Erica, thank you so much for your time. We're rooting for you. Hopefully, you have a great Q4 and a great year ahead.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for joining us. Thanks. All right. Bye.
Bye.